Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Carl Johan Kallmann, who is the author of The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, a Novel Theory of Our Origins. Dr. Kallmann has started with the metaphysical principle of the, I believe it was the Emerald Tablets, as above, so below, and has developed a theory with his extensive knowledge of the Mayan calendar of how the higher realms, metaphysical realms, reflect down onto our third dimension here, and through consciousness changes, cause differences in the civilizations, the rise of civilizations, the fall of civilizations, and he tracks this with the Mayan calendar. Very interesting theory. Thank you very much, Dr. Kallmann, for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Susan. Thank you.
You're welcome. So would you like to tell the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you became interested in the study of consciousness?
Well, my background is really in the hard sciences. I grew up in Sweden. I was trained there in to become a toxicologist and worked for 20 years in the fields of cancer research, chemistry, and such matters. Mm-hmm. But at one point in this career, when I was a graduate student, I decided to make a journey to Mexico and to Guatemala to have a break simply from the test tubes and the instruments and so forth that I was used to. And so this is 1979, and I go to Mexico, which, you know, at that time was actually a bigger adventure than it would be today, quite mm-hmm. much so, I would say. And but I find that I find myself really being happy with the kind of culture that they had. It's very colorful, and especially when I would take a train down to go to the Yucatan Peninsula and would encounter Maya people and other native peoples to Mexico, I felt very strongly connected. And even more so, I was fascinated by the old ruined sites Chichen Itza and Palenque, and learned about the calendar system that they had. And that was a very interesting thing, because it was a calendar system that was very different from the one we used to in the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. This was enough to fascinate me and sort of have this whole experience stay with me. And as I learned about these things, and as I visited Mexico, I really felt that I had encountered my purpose of my life. And I believe it's actually a purpose that I was born with, and came here with a certain kind of a mission to make the Mayan calendar available to modern people who are coming from another perspective than the ancient Maya. But anyway, that whole experience was very profound and made me feel that, you know, no matter what, I have this purpose related to the Mayan calendar. And it took me then, I think, 13 years after that initial visit to Mexico until I actually started to work full-time with the Mayan calendar, which means that I left behind then the previous career that I had, mm-hmm. but I felt that this is the calling that's most important, and this is what I should do. And since then, I have been working in different ways with the Mayan calendar. I've I've written books, I've made films, I have spoken, lectured all mm-hmm. over the world essentially about it, and I'm still doing it. Now this new trilogy that's opening up here has a somewhat of a different slant to it. It's really very much about what you might say the evolution of consciousness and how the Mayan calendar precisely charts the evolution of consciousness, and that is what I see as the my mission at the present time to understand as full as possible.
Now, in your book, you describe something that occurs at the beginning of the Mayan calendar. Can you tell us about what time frame the beginning of the Mayan calendar is set at, and what was going on Earth at that time, how are they related?
Yeah, so I should say a little bit more about what the Mayan calendar is, what makes it special, and why is it different, and so why do we have reasons to take an interest? Mm-hmm. And I would say that this is the only calendar on our planet that is not based on astronomy. It's not based on the physical reality. Instead, it's a calendar that assigns different symbols that the ancient Maya would use. They could be like symbols of totem animals or different kinds of divinities that were assigned to different periods of time. And what that meant was that these symbols would be typical of the kind of energies that would be ruling this particular time period. And so it would tell you something about the kind of character that this time period had and what kind of events might occur in this particular time period. So that is sort of the basis of the Mayan calendar. It's a calendar that outlines the spiritual energies of time. What this particular book, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, starts with is really to look at one of many interconnected Mayan calendars, which started 3115 BC. It's a calendar that's called the Long Count, usually. Mm-hmm. And it was always used by the Maya to when they would date their own pyramids and altars and whatever they would erect in their cities. But what's interesting then is that this date of the beginning of this particular calendar, 3115 BC, coincides with what professional historians will regard as the rise of civilization on our planet, mm-hmm. which happens independently in a couple of different places, in Mesopotamia, in Egypt, and in the Indus Valley in present-day Pakistan, about 5,000 years ago, about at this particular time, it's obvious that some kind of a tremendous change took place, because suddenly in these regions they start to build pyramids, they develop cities, they start to use numbers and calculate, they start to write, they start to do many, many other things that we think of today as sort of this is civilized, this is the beginning of civilization. And this tells me, at least, and the book gives a lot of hard arguments for that, that somehow there is a connection between this beginning of this Mayan calendar, that Mayan calendar signified a shift in how the human beings are and who they are and how they think and so forth, that resulted in the creation of civilization. And that particular wave, that particular calendar has been going on ever since, and this civilization has spread to the pretty much the whole planet. And there is a connection here. We humans are not always the same. They were not the same before this wave began. But and that wave, that calendar 5,000 years ago, it started a process. And that's what, that's a big starting point in this particular book.
Now, you at the beginning of the book, you talk about an eight partitioning that signifies a change in consciousness that envelops the Earth and affects many different civilizations. Can you explain what that is?
Well, I can, because we are fortunate to have some information from the Maya themselves, from ancient times, where they described what happened on the planet at that point when this particular calendar started. And what they described then is that the Earth was sort of covered by an eight-partitioned grid. You might say a grid that had perpendicular lines, straight lines and perpendicular lines that connected the two north and the south pole and went around the planet and divided it in eight particular it partitioned it the Earth. And the way I have looked upon it is that, well, this eight partition on the Earth and the emergence of a metaphysical grid that the Mayan inscription actually talks about, the human beings, you might say, it was in resonance with this as it happened. And as that happened, they as individuals would sort of download a mind that had these kind of straight lines. And so this is the reason I would say that before 5,000 years ago, you really don't find any straight lines on the planet. It's only as human beings have downloaded this particular grid to them onto themselves that they start to create a straight line outside of themselves, like these amazing pyramids that were built in Egypt, for instance. And one of the things that I point out here is that the most famous of the Egyptian pyramids, the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza, is actually eight-sided itself. This is evident if you look upon it from satellite photographs. And so that, I would say, was simply there to mark this beginning of civilization as people started to download this eight partitioning of the Earth. And this particular organization, this kind of new mind, you find signs of it in many different parts of the world. At that time in China, for instance, they started to have symbols of I Ching, which is really eight different directions. You got eight different trigrams, as it's called, and that was to them that particular I Ching symbol divided in eight directions. So that was taken down, you might say, by a legendary emperor who was also the person who created writing, which is, you know, another very typical symbol of civilization. And you find this eight partitioning in symbols. If you look at the flood with Noah in the Bible, that is considered like a description of a new creation. You find that there are eight survivors of this flood, and coming out, mm-hmm. There is a reason that the Ark of Noah was rectangular, because they came out with this particular straight and perpendicular lines. And so I could go on and give examples from this in different civilizations, but the Maya are the ones that are giving the most explicit explanation to what happened. And it's easy for us to, if we study these ancient civilizations, we will see that there is a point in time when people actually are starting to make straight lines, build houses with straight lines, and roads with straight lines, etc., etc. And that coincides with this particular beginning of this Mayan calendar of 5,100 years.
So as the calendar goes on, it seems that there are certain ages where civilization rise up, but then that's followed by civilizations falling back down. And the calendar tracks that worldwide. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And there has always been, in historical research, there has always been these kind of questions that people ask. They ask, why did the Roman Empire collapse? Why did people leave Chaco Canyon, which is place that happens to be fairly close to where I'm living here in Santa Fe, and why did the Maya leave their particular pyramid sites, mm-hmm. and so forth? And it's all explained by, we have this idea that history should be progressing according to some kind of a straight line and so forth. But what the Mayan calendar tells us is that history is actually developed by a wave movement. They symbolized it with a plumed serpent, like a wave that has a direction. And in those waves, there will be peaks where civilization will flourish and all kinds of ideas and creativity will emerge. And then there, by necessity, there will also be these times that are valleys when the creativity goes down, and in many cases, as is in the case of the Roman Empire, it just collapsed at the time when this wave that the Maya describe happened to go into a valley, into a dark era, so to speak. And you will see that in many different civilizations. It's only that not so many people have looked upon it in light of the Mayan calendar and its various shift dates that define what is a time period of a peak and what is a time period of a valley.
And so at the end of 2012, December 21st, 2012, we're told that the Mayan calendar came to a close. What was that? What was the meaning of that?
Well, this was the time when a tremendous amount of fantasies were actually thrown out there, and people in general did not go to the actual Mayan sources in order to understand what the shift meant. Mm-hmm. There was a shift. You know, I would place it a year earlier, 2011. But that doesn't, that's not really important for us today. But there was a very significant shift. But let me I should explain it a little bit by going to the only existing Mayan inscription that talks about this particular shift that we have now gone through. Because people made up all kinds of stories. They made up the idea that the world would come to an end. They made up the story that there would be a galactic alignment in the sky. They made up many, many other things. And this is not what you find if you go to the Mayan inscriptions. And there is just one Mayan inscription that talks about the particular shift we have now gone through. And it's found on a monument that is called Tortuguero Monument Number 6. And Tortuguero is the place of a Mayan site down in the state of Chiapas in Mexico. And well, first of all, you know, we shall be aware how remarkable it actually is that the ancient Maya would write an inscription about what would happen something like 1,500 years into the future. That would be the same thing as somebody today making an inscription about something that would happen in the year 3,500. And few people would do that. Few people would feel confident enough about the course of events that they would, that they actually would say something about the year 3,500. But the ancient Maya, they did write an inscription, but it's written not in terms of what would happen to us, visibly speaking. It is really like a metaphysical message. And what it says there is that something they called Bolon Yokteku, which means the nine-storied god, you might say, or the nine-storied metaphysical entity, would then, at this shift point, would then appear in his full regalia. And this is the only inscription that we have about the particular date that we have recently gone through. And it does take a certain knowledge about how the Maya were thinking and so forth. But one thing that, you know, helps explain it is that in all the significant Mayan temple sites, in Palenque, in Tikal, in Chichen Itza, and several others, they have at the center of their sites some pyramid that is built in nine stories, in nine levels, or nine terraces, so to speak. And what these nine terraces symbolize are like nine levels of the evolution of the mind. And so each of these levels that stand upon each other carries a new frame of the mind, and each of them develops a new wave of creation. And we should also be aware that every such wave that is built on top of another will have a frequency that is 20 times higher than the one that it stands upon. So when you climb one of these pyramids in nine levels, you're actually enacting the entire evolution of the universe up until the year 2011. And you know, this increase in frequency means that there's been a sequential activation of these particular waves, so that And since the higher waves have the higher frequencies, what people have in recent times, especially up until 2011, experienced a speed up of time, an acceleration of time. And the reason is that these creation waves have been activated. The ones with the higher highest frequency have been activated the most recently. And so that's how the Mayan calendar system is integrated. It is basically, when you look upon them in the totality of this kind of a nine-storied pyramid. And the real meaning then, when they say that this entity, this deity that was the composite of these nine waves, will appear in its full regalia. What that means is that all the nine waves that it's constituted by will be activated, up and running. And that only happened then, like 3 years ago, and what this means is that the entire spectrum of energies by means of which the world is created are now up and running, and that's the full regalia of this entity, and that's the true meaning of what the shift meant. And it does create the possibilities that have not existed before at any prior time. So that's going back to what the Maya said, and this is absolutely the only inscription that comes from the Maya. So what that means is that whatever somebody else said, it doesn't come from the Maya. It is something right. that somebody else has had that kind of idea.
Well,
but I want to make one final point mm-hmm. about this, and this is that when we look upon these waves in the Mayan calendar system and as the long count, they are sometimes like 400 years or something like that. And mm-hmm. so the whole idea that everything would change on a particular date is very, very alien to Mayan ways of thinking. A date may be a shift point, but then mm-hmm. that shift is something that might manifest over 20 years or 200 right. years or many things like that. And I would say we are now at the point when there has been a shift, but it's not something that happens on a particular date. It's shifting mm-hmm. our consciousness as we speak.
Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of other authors, and we've compared notes, and I think there's a consensus that, especially in the last few years, time seems to be speeding up, and it's not just because we're getting older. Even younger people
no.
think that time is speeding
yeah.
up. The weeks are just much faster than they used to be in
yeah.
our perception of them. And then the other thing...
In our perception.
Yeah, and the other thing that we seem to be doing is we're much more aware of our multidimensional realities. In other words, we're very aware that we're not just in the third dimension only, that we have simultaneous
yes.
consciousness in maybe other parallel worlds, other dimensions, other places. We may not be real conscious of it, but we notice missing time. We notice we're, like I was describing the other day, that I spend like maybe every third Saturday just sleeping all day, which is something that I would never have done before. I mean, it would be impossible
yeah.
for me to do before. And when we ask
yeah.
in session, why are we doing this, they're saying that adjustments are being made because we're spending more time in parallel worlds, which is fascinating.
Yeah. It
so
is.
What does the Mayan have to say about that? I mean, is there any...
Yeah. you know, the way I look upon the Mayan calendar, it's sort of the time plan for the entire universe, and mm-hmm. it's not just something Mayan in the sense that it's only from this people or so. I mean, they should always be recognized as having discovered it, but it's right. not like it's a particular to them. It's something that's right. universal, what they discovered, and. And what you're talking about here, it fits very well into this, what I talked about, the nine-storied pyramids, because mm-hmm. these waves, they bring in different dimensions of experiencing reality. Take the one that we talked about, the one that started 5,000 years ago, it actually... because people downloaded the straight lines and started to build pyramids, that already tells us that there was a shift in dimensionality. People mm-hmm. got lines of references that were horizontal and vertical and started to see reality through this particular grid system. And that is, you know, that exemplifies the tie that exists between one of the Mayan calendar and the kind of dimensionality that people experienced reality through. And now the wave of 5,000 years is actually then only one out of nine different waves. And what's new since a couple of years ago is that the ninth wave is now activated, and they mm-hmm. each bring a kind of a dimensionality to their perception of reality. So especially after this shift 3 years ago, 2011, then people will experience reality in a multidimensional way, because mm-hmm. at this point we have the ability to be in resonance with any of these particular waves, and often we are in resonance with them simultaneously, and that creates a different kind of experience of reality.
It's interesting that some of the information we're getting in session now is that long before we colonize outer space, we will explore parallel dimensions. And that's something yeah. that you wouldn't have expected. You know, would you have expected nope. that before? Because you and I grew up with Star Trek and all of that. You would have yeah. thought we would yeah. have gone to Mars or gone to, you know, yeah. another planet before we would do parallel worlds.
Yeah. The science fiction of the past was very sort of technical and technological and about going somewhere else, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of the future is actually about staying here and exploring what mm-hmm. there is and in ourselves. And,
yeah, yeah. We're going to find out that the third dimension is only one small part of where we are, which is fascinating. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Mm.
So what have you explored? I mean, I know you're writing these other two books, and I know they're not simply based in history or the Mayan calendar.
Right.
You actually go into consciousness
yeah.
research.
Yeah.
More and more people are having the experience of bilocation now, probably since 2011, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
people are saying to other people, you know, you appeared in my room and helped me in a crisis, but many people
yeah.
are saying that. It's not just one person. So, but the person
oh, really?
You're talking
yeah.
about has no memory of doing this. What's going on there? Is that part of this multidimensional shift that we're in?
Well, I can't. I can. You know, I can make some give some kind of an angle to it. possible angle. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. I actually did not know that this has become a common experience, but I certainly have heard it before when people are talking about sort of spiritual entities or advanced mm-hmm. beings and these kind of things. But I, you know, the one of the critical things that my book, I would say, really proves is that we, our minds are not created by each of our brains in isolation. Mm-hmm. This is what we are taught, and it's taught in medicine, and it's taught in psychiatry, and it's taught in psychology. They have the entire focus on the brain,
right.
And of course the brain plays a certain role, but the brain does not create the mind. The mind is created by the earth, and in particular with the inner core of the earth. And the mind is something that we all download. And that's the reason after all, it's fairly easy for us to understand each other. You know, of course, there are certain things we don't understand about others, but after all, you know, we're fairly good at understanding each other. And the reason is that we're downloading the same mind, the same global framework for how to think. Mm-hmm. And what that tells us then is that if everyone is downloading this same global mind, it means that, if nothing else, we're all connected to one and the same mind. Mm-hmm. And especially now when this whole multidimensional reality has opened up, with all the ninth wave being up and running, you know, I could imagine that this connection that we already have will be filled with these kind of experiences that you mentioned, where somebody is just appearing to you in your home mm-hmm. and helping you or whatever doing. I can't say in a spiritual sense, because I would think these experiences, people feel that they're really there physically speaking. But what this way of looking at reality does allow is for us to understand that we are all connected, and that's why all these synchronicities will happen in our life when we, you know, when we run into people on the other side of the world, we run into our next door neighbor or somebody we met on the internet, or all these kind of things. They all come out of the fact that we are all connected through this global mind. That, I would say, may account for a part of the explanation to this phenomenon that you are mentioning.
Now, you know, we all are familiar with history in general. I mean, maybe not all the details, but in general, we had the rise of the Roman Empire, the Greek before that, and then the fall of those empires, and then we had kind of a dark age, and then we had the British Empire rise up. And the British Empire was pretty amazing, if you think about it. You said one quarter of everybody in the world belonged to the Roman Empire or something like that. It was insanely, you just don't realize how big the British Empire was. The British Empire kind of collapses, and then the U.S. power comes up, U.S. and Europe power comes up. So what now, with your understanding of the Mayan calendar, what forces are going to cause what now? I mean, what do you see in terms of, are we going to quit having these empires rise up because the ninth wave is coming in?
Well, I think that I generally speaking, we've come to a point where things depend. There's nothing more for us to wait for, in a sense, because before the ninth wave was activated, there was one piece of creation missing that is in order for us to, you might say, recreate the world in a positive sense. I especially in the coming book, I talk about the return to the Garden of Eden. And this is made possible through this ninth wave, but it won't happen automatically. Everything now depends on the kind of choices that humanity does. But going back to the, meaning that things are not exactly predictable in the way they used to be predictable before the year 2011. But the rise of the British Empire started in at a very, you know, an important shift point in this long count that started 5,000 years ago. So there was a shift point in the year 1617 when the last of the peaks of this particular wave was activated. And this particular wave, it generally favors the West, the Western Hemisphere. And so what happened then, you know, close to this shift point was that the first British trading post was instituted in India in 1615, and for Americans, a year that is probably much more well known is the fact that in 1620, you know, 3 years after the shift point, the Pilgrims landed in Massachusetts, and that was the first of the land-based colonies of Britain, real colonies, so to speak. And then, as you said, over time, within this new peak of a wave that is favoring the Western Hemisphere, you saw the British Empire grow to one out of four of all people in the planet belong to this particular empire. And later, you know, the United States, in a sense, took over this particular role. Now, the shift a few years ago means that this time period comes to an end. And what that means is that there is, you know, there is a great likelihood and that the energies will now favor the Eastern hemisphere, meaning it might favor certain Islamic groups, it may favor Russia, it may favor India and China in different ways. So I would say there is a general tendency at the current time for favoring these the Eastern hemisphere and the kind of world dominance that the West have enjoyed over these the last Bakhtun over 400 years. That era has come to an end. But at the same time, you know, things are not easily predictable because now there are nine waves running at the same time, and this doesn't mean that Putin will conquer the world, because there are now another kind of possibilities for that may be much more unifying and balance creating. It's all dependent on what people do at the present time. It's an entirely new situation, because up until 2011, we still had to wait for the activation of the ninth wave, which brings unity consciousness, which brings a completely new possibility for unity. But the people that are really born into that wave, they're less than three years of age, so right, they're not making headlines. So they're not. So it's a very multifaceted, and it comes back to what you talked about earlier, that, you know, we're living in a multidimensional reality at this point. And so I wouldn't, you know, I would say, yes, there is a general tendency that, the Eastern Hemisphere is now being favored, whether, you know, whether we like it or not, or whether they are good guys mm-hmm. or bad guys, the Eastern Hemisphere is now favored. But we shouldn't immediately just draw the conclusions and think that they will create in the same kind of empires that existed in the past, because we're living in a multidimensional reality where the actions of each and every one of us will influence the course of events.
And it may be that with this last wave of energy coming in, that we're gonna see that we don't have the empire dominance anymore. We may actually
right.
go toward the world, one world government, the one world, programs like that are trying to do everything, you know, for say the African countries with Ebola, realizing the countries around the world realizing that we have to go and give support where things are weak and in trouble, because if not, it comes knocking on our door because
yeah.
of the air travel and just the way things are.
Sure.
If one yeah. country, you're in a toxicologist, if one country is
yeah.
polluting, it's no longer just that country that gets affected. I mean, look
no.
at the radiation
no.
coming out of Japan. I mean, nothing
yes.
is just that country's problem. And so mm-hmm. maybe we're coming to the consciousness that we need to go support whatever is the weakest country, the most diseased
yeah.
country, the starving country. That's where the earth or the world's attention needs to go, so that we can heal that, so that that doesn't become a problem for everybody else.
Yeah,
you know, we're no longer separatists that we used to be.
Right, right. The nations will not be as separate as they used to be, and which may be, you know, it's a possibility, it's a new opportunity. There is a risk with it too, but mm-hmm. the boundaries of the national structure are dissolving over time.
Right.
And again, it could be good, it could be bad, but it's so.
It's going to be different.
It's going
and
to
Western
be different.
Western dominance is a thing of the past, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's
is.
Going to be a thing of the
That's
past.
That's what I'm
right?
saying. Yeah.
Right.
It is.
And I can see that. I mean, I can see the U.S. is not nearly in the financial position that it used to be to be the
right.
world leader
yeah.
in arms and in everything else.
Yeah.
But we're just not.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't, you know, we won't interfere with everybody else's politics like we did in the past.
Right.
You know, that's,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I do want to, I guess we only have a few minutes left, right?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to give your contact information?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes. So my website is kalleman.com, kalleman.com. And you may buy my books there, or you may buy it on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble's or any particular place. And you mm-hmm. may also there, I have a blog, and you might sign up for, you may give your email address, and then you will get some mailings about things that are going on related to this project. And then I think there are three different Facebook pages. Two of them are on my name, Carl Johan Kalleman and Carl Kalleman, and the third one is simply called the Mayan Calendar. And that's also possible to get information about this. What I want to say here is really that this new wave that has opened up and sort of completed the multidimensional reality that is now available to us. That is a wave that creates a mind that is not dualist. It creates a mind that allows us to see how everything is connected and take everything into account as we make our decisions. And the future, I believe, is about resonating with this particular wave of becoming part of it. And the future, that as I see it, is also that this particular wave that creates a mind of unity is sort of allows for a return to the Garden of Eden, where there's really no separation between genders, between people and God, people and animals, people and nature, or anything like that. But it's not something that happens automatically. And the current book that I'm working on will be about, you know, how do we become part of this? Those of us that want to be part of this return to the Garden of Eden, how do we do that? But what I do want to say already here is that I think that what everybody can do who wants to be part of this process that is now possible is to set the intention, to set the intention and to be part of it and transform ourselves to become part of this process. And as we transform ourselves, we will also help transform the world. We will transform our relationships, etc., etc. Because the critical thing for the future of humanity, I believe now, is to come for a large portion to come into resonance with this mind that is a mind of oneness, a mind that doesn't separate, and in all our actions be part of that, be coming from that kind of a thing. And everyone can, as a minimum, can set the intention, and then if that happens, then I think people will find an individual way, an individual path to that is the most conducive to their own participation in this global process that we're part of at this moment.
And I think it is important to understand that if you have a calendar that, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's around 5,000 years old, is that, I mean, the entire calendar is about 5,000 years, is that right?
No, there are calendars here of the nine waves that go back 16 billion years.
Oh, okay.
So it's just one of the nine levels that is 5,000 years.
Okay, well, the 5,000 year calendar, that calendar, we can't go back further than that with known history. I mean, we assume that, you know, mankind was around, but we have no idea really what it was like because the written records and the verbal traditions don't go back that far. So, you know, we really are at a point where things could shift rapidly and very differently because we've got this 5,000-year thing where this wave came in, but you know, we don't remember before that 5,000-year. I mean, we just don't.
Right. No, we don't. No.
So we don't know what was, you know, we don't know what it was like before that. So all I'm saying is that this could be a big shift, and we just have no reference point.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So who knows what it's possible. I just hope that we're going to be able to, you know, as a toxicologist, you know how incredibly dangerous we've come to polluting our world and infecting our health. Our immune systems go down, cancer rates go up, you know, the whole thing that birth defects and infertility. I just hope that we can get to unity consciousness before we eliminate ourselves as a species.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, or yeah. really cause great harm to our environment and eliminate other species, you know. So
I think
that's where we're at. I mean, I think we do need to shift consciousness if we're not going to go into extinction.
Yeah, sure.
So. Well, I wish you luck on your next two books that you're writing.
Thank you. It sounds very interesting.
And when you're ready, just please contact us, and we'll have you back on for the second one when it's ready. What's going to be the name of the book? Do you have a name yet?
Yeah, the preliminary title, working title.
It is
not over yet.
Okay, there you go.
meaning the Mayan calendar and as a guide to higher states of consciousness will be the subtitle.
Okay,
but it refers to the fact that the Mayan calendar is not over and that it's still very much influencing us, what they described in their calendars.
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, it just starts over. You know, that's what I'm told anyway.
Continues.
It just starts over. Right.
No, it doesn't start. I would say it doesn't start over. It just continues without interruption.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
The next wave comes in. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Kalaman. I appreciate the time
we spent.
Thank
you, Susan.
It's been fun.
This is
Dr. Susan Kalb. We've been talking with Dr. Carl Kalaman, the author of The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, A Novel Theory of Our Origins. And this is the first volume of the Paradigm Shift Trilogy. And hopefully Dr. Kalaman will come back when he's ready to release the second part of the Paradigm Shift Trilogy. And maybe we can understand all of these weird things that are happening in our world that at least most of us don't remember happening 20 years ago. So maybe we can explain all of these shifts in consciousness and all of the strange phenomena, the increase in synchronicities and the increase in paranormal or just strange things that we can't explain in everyday third-dimensional reality.
Yes.
But thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week for Joel Fotinus. He has a book called My Life Contract, a 90-day program. And then we will be not having Noetic Science in December, but we will continue with Noetic Science the third Thursday of January. I'll have that announcement a little later on. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show.